And the time will be our time, and the grass won't be no more.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view. You can email me questions at bruce@bruceallen.com, and you can follow me at Bruce Allen on Twitter. We have back with us the incredible Sherrilyn Laban for some politics. It's something I swore I'd never do publicly, but be careful what you say. Never say never. Sherrilyn Laban is co-chairman of the Project 21 National Advisory Board. During the first 6 years, I've got this all mixed up. She's also president and CEO of Clar Strategies, a public affairs firm. She previously served as a political appointee in the George W. Bush administration, as a spokesman at the Republican National Committee, and as senior counsel for the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee. She's a frequent guest on Fox News Channel and a national broadcast radio shows all over the place, and is a contributor to Town Hall and Politicalistas. Follow her on Twitter at Harley, like Harley Davidson, LEBON. Welcome back to the show, Sherrilyn.
Great to be with you very much.
Well, thank you. I greatly appreciate your knowledge and wisdom. And as I already told you on the break, it seems impossible to avoid talking about the bombings that sadly took place in Boston. Yeah. And I've sort of preempted all my plans for the day, including the dad chat for tonight, to address what's gone on. And I'd love to hear your thoughts, in essence, from a political point of view, though it does not have to be political. So please, the mic is yours.
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is that I certainly think we have become, as a nation, a little bit comfortable after what happened in 9/11 and somewhat complacent. And what Boston illustrates, in so many other ways as well, is that we must forever be vigilant in this country, forever vigilant. And there is not one day that we should feel that we could let up on this, that these terrorists are our friends, and that in any way, shape, or form, the threat has decreased.
Yeah, and excuse me for interrupting, but you know, it's so interesting. Our president has wanted us to think that the war on terror was over.
Exactly, and that's exactly where I'm going, Bruce.
Okay,
that's
with Benghazi, he wouldn't call it even a terrorist act.
And well, he didn't call this either.
He didn't. Finally, bowing to pressure. But then, let's face it, the whole country, including the Justice Department and our wonderful district attorney, Eric Holder, has refused to call the Fort Hood murderer terrorist anything other than a workplace incident.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
So part of the reason I think we have become, as a nation, complacent is that the man who's leading our country is complacent. And he's giving us this false sense of security. Again, you know, no one wants to call, you articulate it very well. No one wanted to call Fort Hood terrorist. He came out and called it a tragedy, but only after people pressured Jay Carney at the White House briefing, as well as, you know, everyone pressuring him, did they backtrack and send out another statement and then called it a terrorist attack. So first thing is, I think we have become complacent. Second thing is, Bruce, when you look at the backdrop and put this in context with other legislation at a national level, i.e. immigration. All right.
How about gun control? The president gets all exercised over the gun control not passing right at as this incredible, meaningful disaster is underway.
Right. So here he's getting, basically he got indignant yesterday.
Yes.
If you saw, he was quite indignant about gun control not passing. But yet he's
in the Democratic controlled Senate. Let's make a note.
Exactly. But he's not indignant about Boston. So second thing. So third thing is, when you look at, you take Boston in the context of immigration, one of the things, and I don't know if you've seen it this past week about the immigration bill, one of the things it was lacking is that it didn't promise border security or any border control. So here we have a terrorist attack in Boston. And they're passing, they want to, you know, they put on the table this immigration legislation, but they can't even promise border security. So how in any way can Americans expect to feel safe in this country? And that our legislators and our Congress and our president really understand what it means to keep the country safe and to be vigilant about homeland security issues.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here. It makes me crazy. It just feels like what, you know, the irony is President Obama is a smart man. He's a human being. He's a father.
No doubt.
He cares
no doubt.
About the welfare of his family as much as any other family. And yet so much of his choices seem so destructive. I want to ask you about something else. Tonight, as I told you, I've changed the agenda for both my radio show and Dad Chat to be talking about this. So I have tweeted out a lot that tonight at Dad Chat, we're going to pray for Boston and talk about how this impacts our kids and how we can talk to our kids about it. That's really what the subject of Dad Chat will be tonight. And I have a very special guest, Carrie Wilkerson, who will be co-hosting with me. And I got a response from somebody, I think he was in the Middle East, that said, you know, we should worry about children everywhere, especially Afghanistan, Iraq, and he named maybe Syria, a third Middle Eastern country. And my reply is, let's not forget Israel in the mix. And then somebody else, if we're going to care about all children, why are you caring just about those? And then another person said, well, Israel's the aggressor. And I really decided I'm not going to go there. Okay, I'm dealing with bigots, obviously, and anti-Semites, and I'm just not going to go there. But where I will go with you is Israel has lived with the threat of terrorism for decades. They know about not only border security, they know about every citizen being aware and conscious. I mean, during the height of the Intifada, they were having daily terrorist attacks. So there's no country that understands how to protect themselves better against extraordinary numbers and hatred in the tens and tens and tens, if not hundreds of millions.
Right.
So there are lessons we should learn from this little small democracy in the middle of all the hatred in the Middle East that I wish our president would take to heart.
Right, and to understand and appreciate that Israeli children grow up with this every day.
And yet they still have joy in their life, which was the point that Dennis
they
Prager made
joy,
in his show. Yes,
and they thrive, and it's truly, I just think Israel is just a testament to human nature, the strength of human nature. Really, it's amazing.
You know, as much as we've been disparaging the president in his comments this morning, I did really like that he talked about we will be back in Boston next April to have the 100 and whatever running of the Boston Marathon, and we will go on. To me, thank you, President, for saying that. I mean, as much as I don't like much of what he did, that was right. That was saying we will not let you, Mr. Terrorist, affect our daily life. You cannot do that. We are bigger than that. Then they win, because terrorism is not about just killing people. It's about scaring people.
It's about instilling fear.
Right.
And fear that can cripple you from carrying out the daily functions of your life.
Right, including the little day-to-day things or the celebratory things like running a race or a parade or the Super Bowl or any of these big public events. We're not going to stop. Okay, there will be whatever happens occasionally. But, you know, the other irony is that George Bush got no credit for the fact that we went the rest of his presidency without any kind of incident. There's been so many incidents since President Obama has been in office, and yet the media just doesn't seem to blast him at all for that.
No, in fact, at least with respect to this Boston situation, what you heard from the, as I call them, the lamestream media, is quickly they wanted to blame this on right-wing terrorists.
Right, and in fact, some left-wingers were hoping it was a white American. I read somebody wanting it to be a white American.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter. And, you know, the interesting thing is that when you look at the type of domestic terrorism that happens in homegrown, and let's just look at the 60s, which was, you know, some of our most egregious type of domestic terrorism, which has happened in this country. It was all left-wing radicals.
Yes,
Weatherman,
yes, yes.
Bill Ayers. Let's talk about the Black Panthers, Assata Shakur. They were killing policemen and state troopers. That was all left-wing radicals. That's what that was. But suddenly, we have forgotten the Weatherman, right?
Yeah, and now Bill Ayers is a professor at a college in Chicago, and another person who had killed
people.
And another
one is that, she served 25 years in prison, and now she's teaching at Columbia.
And the big question I have is, was she really the only appropriate candidate?
Exactly. You mean to tell me they could not find other qualified candidates?
I mean,
for
their choice.
Social work?
Yeah, exactly. Listen, we're out.
We're out of time.
We're out of time. Oh, my God. I could talk to you forever. Very quickly, tell our audience where they can find you, Sherilyn.
They are welcome to follow me on Twitter at Harley, H-A-R-L-E-Y, Lebon, L-E-B as in boy, O-N. I'm very active on Twitter. I love to meet new people on Twitter. I follow back, and I'm always tweeting out about current events and politics and mom issues and parents and all sorts of things.
Terrific. We will have you back, God willing. And if you can, I'd love you to come to Dad Chat tonight. It'll be 6 to 7 p.m. my time. I don't know. Where are you? What city are you in today?
East Coast. So
okay.
That would be
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock.
Yeah, 9 o'clock. I'm going to try and come on for Dad Chat. I'd like that.
I would love it. Okay, stay tuned, everybody. Thank you, Sherilyn. We will be back with Pastor Drew Sams.
But like the wind that covers our land, strong enough to rule the heart of any man, this thing called love. It can lift you up, it can let you down, take your world, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found that's stronger than love.